Okay, introductory remarks again. I would like to welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile device recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in committee items. I would remind members of their obligation under Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they have in any item of business before the meeting today. If you have any, if you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that the microphones work as a queuing system. If a microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit up red, as you will lose your place in the queue. There may be some members in attendance virtually, and it has been agreed that all members in the chamber are brought in to speak on an issue before any remote delegates. Therefore, if you are attending remotely, please use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in once all those within the chamber have spoken. Instant message should be kept to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, C for a comment, P if you wish to propose, S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Okay, everyone. So we'll start off with any apologies.
Chair, we have apologies this evening from Councillors Devlin, Gibbons, O'Hare and Truesdale.
Valerie Hart, Anya Quinn and Roisin Hall. You got Siobhan O'Hare, yeah? Siobhan O'Hare, yeah. Thanks.
Okay. Decorations of interest. Has anybody any decorations of interest? Nope. We'll move on then to the action sheet from Council meeting held on the 1st of June 2026. It's 5 pages, hang on just to get it here. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Could have a proposer and a seconder, please.
Both.
Philip Campbell proposed, anybody second?
I'll second.
Daniel Murphy, you signed it. Thank you. Everybody in agreement? Yep. We'll move on to the next item. Minutes of the annual general meeting held on the 1st of June 2026 for approval. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 3 minutes more.
Yeah.
Many pages, wasn't it? Yeah. 5, 6, 7, 8. The proposer and seconder for these minutes. Councillor Bowsley and Councillor McAteer, everybody happy? Minutes of council meeting held on the 1st of June 2026. For approval, 11 pages. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Number of proposer and seconder for this full council meeting on the 1st of June. Michael McAteer. Anybody else to second it?
Second.
Who signed it? Everybody in agreement? Any questions on it? Nope. What I'm going to do now at the start, I sort of admitted it there. Would everybody be happy if Jarnath Tenley, Councillor Jarnath Tenley, made a personal statement. His circumstances over the last month or two, everybody would be happy enough if he was allowed to do that. Get everybody happy enough. Okay, Jarnath.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, colleagues. I thank you in advance for giving me these few minutes, Chairman. Colleagues, as you are well aware, on April 20th this year, 11 weeks ago tonight, my family was plunged into the biggest trauma of our lives. Darkest hole from which none of us has even begun to emerge. And it is in this context that I wish to address you all regarding a matter of utmost concern, and I thank you for the opportunity to do so. Like all other elected members, I also received an email on May the 19th regarding an update on the GR for the Civic and Regional Hub, which included the following sentence. The applicant solicitor has failed to honour the timetable agreed and advised on the 22nd of April that they could not present their skeleton argument as they required an affidavit from an elected member. End of quote. To my utter dismay and bewilderment, I was subsequently informed over the following weeks by some of my fellow councillors that the elected member referred to in this email was myself, because an official in this council had named me to some of my elected colleagues. For the avoidance of doubt, to suggest I have any part to play in this GR is a scurrilous lie. And for a council employee to name me in such a cavalier manner, without having the common decency to raise it with me first, is, I hope you agree, absolutely scandalous. Colleagues, I trust you agree. This is totally unacceptable conduct from any council official. That they could so casually abuse their privileged position within this council to make such an erroneous claim about an elected councillor behind their back during such a difficult time is unforgivable. I spoke to that council official last Thursday, where they completely refuted that they had done anything wrong and therefore declined the opportunity to apologise for their actions. Hence my request to address you this evening. During that conversation, I was told a couple of things that sound dubious to me at the very least. Firstly, last Thursday, and 10 weeks after it was dated, I was made aware for the first time of a legal letter from a Belfast-based solicitor, whom I do not know, to the High Court in Belfast that is dated April the 23rd, which erroneously suggests that they were expecting an affidavit from me. The council official told me they had a copy of this letter because it was not legally privileged, and that they, in fact, were legally obliged to bring it to the attention of the party group leaders, whom, on receipt of such information, the group leaders would have been expected to keep it confidential. However, this explanation quickly falls apart when I find out, subsequent to that discussion on Thursday, that I was also named by the same council official at least one party group meeting with the senior management team, and also at another meeting where councillors other than group leaders were present. So I may well, in fact, chairperson, be the last councillor in this chamber to be made aware of this matter. Colleagues, this letter that erroneously uses my name was dated on April the 23rd. And it makes me sick to the pit of my stomach that this same council official stood at the foot of my daughter's coffin on April the 24th, whilst possibly already in possession of this letter and beginning to plan how best to use it to undermine me in the eyes of my fellow councillors. I can only conclude that for a cancelled employee to then proceed and throw my name around like confetti in such a reckless manner was most likely done in an attempt to besmirch my integrity, call into question my credibility, and try to create difficulties for me as an elected councillor, whilst I'm at the lowest point in my life, crushed and broken by the death of my daughter. And how ironic it is that despite the impression being given that the whole GR may hinge on this fantasy affidavit, the case apparently has now proceeded to a full High Court hearing later this year. Colleagues, this council employee, official and employee, is thus far indifferent and oblivious to the gravity of this matter. They refuse to accept that they have made an egregious and monumental error of judgment by their actions, and despite declining the offer to recognise the harm done and apologise, I am repeating that offer here this evening, and I would ask for your support in so doing. I am therefore asking this council official to go away and urgently reflect what has been said in this chamber this evening. Recognise that they were wrong to take such erroneous and false information, regurgitate it and present it as fact without checking its accuracy. Recognise the hurt that they have caused me personally and issue a full, unqualified and unequivocal apology within the next week. Such an apology, colleagues, will be the end of the matter. However, failure to do so will leave me with no choice but to request an external independent investigation by the relevant body that may potentially involve many people within this room being called as witnesses, in addition to the reputational damage and scrutiny it will likely bring on council. Should an investigation be required, ideally, I would like to see it being requested by my elected colleagues. However, if councillors aren't in agreement, I will proceed alone, in addition to exploring the possibility of initiating civil proceedings. To the other officials within this council who are well aware of what happened here, I ask you to look into your hearts, because you know full well this was an outrageous overreach by one of your colleagues, and use your influence to bring pressure to bear and ensure this matter is resolved immediately. And finally, once again to my colleagues, we may all have our own political perspectives and outlooks that are often at odds with each other, but the one thing that binds us all is our personal integrity, our good character and reputations that take years to build, yet can be destroyed in a moment. That is why I have no choice but to pursue this, and do so by seeking your full support on getting to the bottom of this matter. I honestly believe such a disgraceful intervention and assertion would not have been made about any other councillor within any party grouping, let alone go unchallenged, and certainly not when they were such a low ebb personally. And that is why I am determined to see this grievous slur corrected. My beloved daughter, Aoife, would expect me to do no less. Thank you, Chairperson, for affording me the opportunity to address this matter.
Thank you, Jonathan. Elaine, do you want to say something?
Thank you, through the chair. Firstly, just to reference, and thank you, Councillor Tinley, for the statement that you've made, but just to confirm, you have made it an open session, and that's a matter for you, which I've already advised upon today. Any references in open council are a matter for you. Secondly, just to advise, I advise the council, body corporate, so in relation to any ongoing judicial review, it is incumbent upon me to protect the council body corporate. If there is conflicts of interest, and I know that no declarations have been made tonight in relation to this item, then at that point we would have to consider where conflict sits. And currently with the serious allegations that have been made in relation to the legal representations that have been made to council through those proceedings, I will have to take those further, and I will take those forward on behalf of council, given the legal representation that have been made to the judge and to council in relation to, as some councillors may have seen, noted in legal correspondence, but also the repeated position by the applicants in relation to a judicial review that will have an impact upon that judicial review, which, as I say, is ongoing. So it would be inappropriate in an open forum to discuss anything any further in relation to the legal advice in relation to that, but I will take that matter forward.
Well, folks, I think the way forward for this here, Jonathan's offered a week to see if this could be resolved. We just all be happy enough we give it an opportunity for any issues to be resolved privately. And he's proposed it. All signed it. Who signed? To Aaron. If everybody's happy with that, could the vote be saying aye? Anybody contrary? So we'll leave it at that there to see if it can be resolved. Jonathan's given a week to see if something can be sorted out, so we'll leave it at that. One other thing here. I'm new to this job, so I forgot something at the very start. Philip isn't advising me very well here just at the minute, so he's not. So just at the very start there, I sent it an email. Anybody that's any special achievements or anything like that there, and Councillor Truesdale sent me an email to read to everybody. Can I put forward the name of Tom Carrington for a mention in chairman's remarks, or chairperson's remarks on his recent fantastic win. He won the highly prestigious Slieve Donegal race on the 30th of May 2026 with a record time of 52 minutes and 1.6 seconds. I assume that's right to the top and back down again, seconds setting a new course record. He also secured a victory at the Hill and Dales 2026 Luxshannock race in June 26. Tom is dedicated and a dynamic young man with a great future in athletics ahead of him. And just on a few things, sir, that Darren may have been up to, weren't just at Phillips level yet, so we're not there, but we're doing our best. There's a few things there that have happened there with me, and some of the things, it's just, as Philip said, there, you get the places you'll never be any other time. So one that really stood out for me was School Green Flag Awards. It was fantastic there, local schools taking part in that. There was a visit by a school class there, and as Philip said one time before, some of the children asked you some very awkward questions that they do. Derry attended the summit of city reception and she had a tour of the Crumlin Road Prison.
Yes, they didn't keep me though.
For the late lady?
Yeah,
that's okay. And a few of the men and women's welfare events over the month as well. There was a triathlon in South Armagh there in Camlach, and there was another one in Castle Ward. So Derry went to the Camlach one and I went to the other one, but we didn't do them, so we didn't. But it was excellent, so it was, and Una was with me, so she was there, and she'd give me a tour around the place whenever I was at Castlewood, and some spots it is. And Warren Point there, the galleon, Andalusia was there, so I visited, so I did, and so did the Waverley. I was on both of them. I got fed in one of them, but I didn't get fed in the other one. There was a red flag unveiling, so there was in Europe for the firefighter, and there was killed in Hill Street in 1910, James Fagan, in advance to support foreign staff at ACL Hospital. Some of the group leaders made and some of them didn't. It's a support after all the trouble there was, and try to give some sort of reassurance to the staff that's working in ACL Hospital that come from foreign fields. And I think they were glad, Declan, of our support. I was also at the opening of Down High School, the new school, which is a fantastic facility. I also was at the Newry Agricultural Show, and there's a few things to eat there now, but I wasn't eating very much that day. There's some visit there, councillors, Henry Riley, Alan Bowsey, David Taylor and Alan Lewis were all there, and they were around all the events from the Manham Gate right through to Teatville, so and a number of other places. And Alan has informed me we also went to the 16th Irish Division's memorial, so are, and there was quite a few of the Irish government's staff was there, so they're having a commemoration, so they are a special one for it alone in September. I don't know the date, Alan, do you? Don't know the date. Hopefully it's later on, because I would like Derry to come along with myself to it there, because we will be getting an invitation from the Taoiseach, so we're hoping to be there. And also, there's a few Ulster Scots events that I attended as well, so Derry and I have been both fairly busy, so I have, and there's quite a bit of running about with the job, so there is, so we've managed it, so I have so far, so sorry I forgot that at the start, and we'll continue on here and give Connor a bit of a shout here now to wake him up there in the economy, regeneration and tourism. So there's 5 pages in this one. Is it on there? Eight pages there, Connor. What page is this one? Born of Whitmary. Oh, yeah, that's the tail end of it. Right, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pages. Got a bit of a poser and a secretary there. We accept this minute. Somebody's from the committee. Alina, who else is on it? Everybody happy with it? Any questions, Michael?
Thanks, Chair. No, it's just in terms of item 8 in the agenda. I'd like to propose a specific reference to Ballymartin, where it asks that there's specific inquiries are made to see if any proposed greenway could link the centre of the village to the GAA grounds, the Pats Road. This was raised with me directly from local residents following the committee approval of feasibility studies. So just if that could be noted in the minutes.
Any comment on it, Connor?
Chair, the approval was for a greenway from Warren Point to Newcastle around the coast. So that would encompass Ballymartin, if I'm right. So you know, there'll be one greenway and it'll link. And if there's any other linkages that are required, they could be probably a local linkage as opposed to part of the project. The route hasn't been determined yet. That's what the feasibility study is to do.
Any other questions? Nope. The Minutes of Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting on the 11th of June. 8 pages here. Find them here, Emery. There. Yep. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So could have a proposer and seconder for the strategy, policy and resources, please. Aidan. Thanks for hand and second. Any questions? Everybody agrees? No. Any questions on it? No questions? Move on to active and healthy then. Fourteen pages, Marie. No pages. 1. There were a proposer and a seconder for that, please.
Proposed. Yep.
Jim, and who was the other one? Evan Murphy. Kate Murphy. Is everybody happy with the minute? Yep. Any questions? Minutes of Sustainable Environment Committee then held on the 17th of June. Sinead's looking forward to this. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, six, seven, eight, nine, 11, 12. Could have a proposer and a seconder. Chris. Mark Campbell. Thanks for Hardy. Everybody content with him? Yep, any questions? Got him. Wrong.
Thank you, Chair. It was on page number 4 of the report there. It's just to check that the contractor who has now been granted approval to remove the stone bus stop, albeit that he is going to be carrying out the work at his own expense now that this has been passed by the committee and passed the full council, I would assume that he can now start work on this because he's been waiting some time.
Yes,
through the chair, I am following the standstill period. Works can commence.
And how?
Five days.
5 days. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Thanks for Riley.
Yes, Chairman, I'd just like to ask you about an update on the amount of income we generate from the waste that our recycling centres and bottle banks, etc.
Through the chair, I can give an overall figure on that. We have a number of different waste contracts that would have an income based on the recycling. So, in 25-26, we have an income of 25,000. So that's things like scrap metal, cardboard, glass, and so on.
Can I just say that's very, very encouraging to hear that. That's a huge amount of money, and there's an incentive there for the public to know that what they do in recycling is actually generating an income for the council. So thanks very much, Sinead, and I think it's very important that we get that message out there. Thanks for that great information.
Thank you, Henry. Anybody else? Nope. The planning section is just nothing there, so there's not... item 11 then, corresponds to a proposer and a seconder on this to start with. You're looking to propose, Callum?
Can do, yeah.
Yeah, somebody second it.
And then comment.
Second it. Thank you, Declan. Go ahead.
Just a note that I still haven't had a response from the Infrastructure Minister from my motion from April in relation to the feasibility and study into a bridge over Strangford Lock. I just propose that we send up.
Binder.
Yeah. Chair, we just received it late today, so it will be tabled at the August committee.
Okay.
Any other questions? Nothing else? We'll move on to the notice of motions, Anne-Marie. The first motion there, thanks for Keane. Understand orders to defer to the AHC status. Could you read it out then, Mr. King?
Thanks, Chair. Yes, this motion reads, the Council notes that the urgent need for increased SEN provision across Newry, Mourne and Down and South Armagh, particularly for rural families who face barriers accessing support and services. Council welcomes the $27.5 million allocation in March 2025 by Finance Minister O'Dowd. Dowd's SEN allocation secured to develop pilot programmes in early intervention and workforce training, but expresses concern at how the Department of Health, Communities and Education are administering this within our constituency. Council therefore agrees to write to the Departments of Education, Health and Communities seeking a breakdown of SEN funding and investment allocated to the Newry, Mourne, Down and South Armagh areas, including support for rural families, specialist provision and summer schemes. Council also agrees to develop a local action plan recognising the growing need for SEN provision across the district with a focus on improving support, accessibility and opportunities for children and families. Thank you.
Who's seconding that, Callum?
Aidan Mollish. Councillor
Mullins. Just to remind everybody, that's deferred the standard by standing order 16.16. Yeah. Let's go on to AHC. The next one is Councillor Riley. Want to go ahead?
Thank you very much, Chairman. Chairman, from the 13th of June, 2026, the Republic of Ireland overhauled its immigration.
You need to read it out first, Henry.
Sorry?
You need to read out the motion.
Oh, the motion. That this council,
given the uncertainty,
suspend its membership of the City of Santorini.
I think you need to read that.
I haven't got it here. Yeah, given the uncertainty regarding the effect that the Republic of Ireland joining the EU Migration and Asylum Pact will have on border areas in Northern Ireland, that this council suspends any move towards membership of the City and District of Santorini for Asylum Seekers and Refugee Scheme.
Okay, thanks, Tommy. We have there now.
Right, we're taking it in council.
Yeah, he's coming there now. You're signing, aren't you?
Yeah. Right, Chairman. From the 13th of June 2026, the Republic of Ireland overhauled its immigration laws to align with the EU Immigration Pact that handed over responsibility for immigration to Brussels. Some people in the Republic see what's happening as an attack on Irish sovereignty, but it will also mean implementing harsh, fast-track border detentions and deportations. Our DUP group is very concerned that many illegals now resident in the Republic of Ireland will be displaced to Northern Ireland, and especially to Newry, Mourne and Down District Council, as we recently voted through plans to designate the council district as a sanctuary region for refugees and asylum seekers. Our group is concerned that as the Irish government establishes accelerated processing and return hubs to comply with EU legislation, the Newry, Mourne and Down district could be inundated with foreign nationals who would become eligible for deportation from the Republic, which is something we simply could not cope with, as our public service is already at breaking point and unable to cope with present demands. Our group is calling on the UK authorities to closely liaise with the Irish authorities to prepare and initiate rigorous checks with stop and search on any person not in possession of a standard visitor visa or UK electronic travel authorisation arrested and detained until deportations can be arranged. We simply cannot allow the Newry, Mourne and Down district to develop as an escape hatch for illegals who are no longer eligible to remain in the Republic of Ireland. We do not lack compassion for people genuinely fleeing oppression and danger, but we believe that we must put our own people first in order to preserve our way of life and maintain our district as a safe and prosperous place for future generations. We, whose families have been here for centuries, have had our sectarian and political divisions, but we are a place where Protestant, Catholic and dissenter can now live together peacefully in what is an incredibly high-trust society, and we should do our best to keep it that way. We are at present a non-awarded member of the City and District of Santorini, and if we look at what we have to do to become a full member, it is practically a highly political exercise that would bind us to do things that we feel are not in the interest of our present community. It would need a public consultation, and we would incur expense that would be imposed on the ratepayer at a time when families are already struggling. We respectfully propose that Newry and Mourne and Down District Council suspends our application to become a full member of the City and Region of Santorini. Thank you, Chairman. Callum Bowes is going to second it.
Go ahead, Callum. You just let him in there, Declan, and get back on again.
The new EU Migration and Asylum Pact is significantly tougher on irregular immigration and asylum. When this was voted on in the Republic last month, Sinn Féin voted against these tougher border controls. Their leader said, the Irish government's decision to opt Ireland into the EU Migration Pact, handing over powers on migration to the EU, was wrong and undermines Irish sovereignty. Yet Sinn Féin up here would rejoin the EU tomorrow if they could and hand over control off these borders to Brussels. While the EU's new asylum rules will be stricter and streamline the asylum process, as Councillor O'Reilly has stated in his motion, it is uncertain what impact this will have on encouraging asylum seekers to illegally cross the Irish border. With up to 90% of asylum seekers in the Republic of Ireland being secondary movers from another EU country, stricter measures against secondary movement could see asylum seekers from the south come north to the UK to evade the EU's migration system and deportation to the country of first entry. While this is ultimately a problem for the UK government to deal with, the last thing we as a Board of Council need to be doing to incentivise the use of this loophole further is having District of Sanctuary written across the border. The City of Sanctuary UK network may seem harmless. After all, its website says becoming a Council of Sanctuary means a local authority is committed to being welcoming and fair to everyone in the community. Sounds great. How could anyone have a problem with that? You'd nearly think the network invented inclusivity. I'm not against refugees. I've helped many. I'm against gimmicks. And having looked into it with an open mind, I can honestly say Council of Sanctuary really is the biggest load of nonsense. It is page after page of meaningless waffle about solidarity and compassion, devoid of any specific policy points. It does nothing to improve our immigration system for anyone. It's gesture politics by the left at its finest. Look at us. We have a City of Sanctuary logo. Solving real issues doesn't really matter. And it wouldn't be so bad if it didn't risk a limited council resources. But here's what we're now expected to do to achieve accreditation. Criterion 4, learning and awareness. Council should provide evidence of refugee asylum migration awareness raising that is included into everyday business of the local authority. For example, staff induction training, officer and councillor briefings, by attendance at local and regional forums and networks. This council won't even send the councillor behind me to the NAC, but we're now going to be expected to attend sanctuary forums. Criterion 11, councils to engage and influence national policy. So we're now going to be expected to waste time lobbying on a Home Office issue instead of improving basic council services. And finally, we need details as to how this Council of Sanctuary scheme is funded. If it's true that it's funded through the Asylum Dispersal Grant, the Council receives every year. We saw at last month's SPNR meeting that was significantly over budget. That needs clarified. But to simply say on the Council website that membership involves an annual £250 fee with no additional cost to the Council, I think is for the birds. We need to stop the gesture politics and start delivering for our local communities. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Chair.
Go ahead.
So, thanks. Sinn Féin is opposed to this motion. Despite stating clearly that you are uncertain about the effect of Ireland joining the EU Migration Pact, you've deliberately and knowingly sought to use this to revisit an issue which was hijacked by the far right in 2025 to spread hatred and fear in this district. This has to be the most dangerous and provocative motion to come before the Council in many, many years. It is dangerous in the dog-whistling sense, for as we've seen last year in the city of Newry and this year in many loyalist areas in Belfast, the far right is in standby to use all opportunities to racially attack international workers and decent people who are willing to protect them. This motion has already sent a signal to the far right, a group that does not distinguish between illegal immigrants and the international workers who complement the trove of highly skilled and dedicated people that are keeping our hospitals open and our economy from completely collapsing. The people who were targeted a few weeks ago in Belfast were NHS workers. We visited some of those people, international workers in Daisy Hill. In fact, Glenn was along with me. And they expressed fear. These are people who are coming from abroad, keeping our hospitals open, saving lives. Yet, the far right have created enough fear, enough hatred, enough division for these people to reconsider their position. Without them, our hospitals are closing, Craigavon, Newry and others. So that's the consequences of your actions. The fear fermented by the far right is constant. It is spawned by the super wealthy to distract from the inadequacies of failing capitalist governments and systems and to generate fear, hate and division throughout the world. The fact that a bomb was placed outside our office last year and we all receive death threats really brings it home that the criminal far right is intent on creating fear in this district and in particular the city of Newry. A city where this council and the councillors who are being targeted are investing hundreds of millions to regenerate it and the surrounding areas, create jobs, build homes, enhance the capacity of Daisy Hill Hospital, and give young people a reason to stay in the area that they are from. Compare that with the far right and what they have to offer. Folk concern about housing, folk concern about our health system. I, nor any of my colleagues, have ever received a single letter of concern from any of these people on any social issue. Immigration policy needs to be comprehensive, unlike this motion, compassionate and enforceable. We must now not allow the far rights and their fellow travellers to use it as a Trojan horse to bring mayhem onto our streets. Sinn Féin is categorically opposed to this motion. Sinn Féin.
Thanks, Declan. Councillor Harry.
Thank you, Chair. I'm very disappointed that this motion is before us this evening, particularly in the wake of the riots and violence that Northern Ireland experienced only weeks ago. I condemn without reservation the violence that we witnessed, and it has no place in our society, and it never will. People across Northern Ireland have every right to be frustrated. They are living with real pressures that deserve real political attention. We have a health system that is under pressure, with people dying on our waiting lists. There's 100,000 children in Northern Ireland live in poverty. Families are unable to access affordable housing, and we have one of the highest rates of violence against women in Western Europe. And our political institutions have suffered repeated periods of instability and collapse. These are things people should be angry with and they should be upset with. They are genuine problems and they deserve genuine solutions. But none of them were created by asylum seekers or immigration. Yet this motion asks us to accept this false premise that migration is somehow to blame for the challenges facing our communities. It is a lie, and it is a convenient scapegoat for the DUP from difficult decisions and their policy failures that have left so many feeling let down. Successive former DUP ministers have failed to get to grips with the barriers to build more homes, leading to the housing crisis that working families find themselves in. Workers in Northern Ireland are struggling under low wages and exploitative workplace practices that have fallen behind the rest of the UK. Yet, the DUP are blocking the Good Jobs Bill. 100,000 children, I said earlier, 100,000 children live in poverty. That is a shocking and saddening statistic. Yet, the DUP's anti-poverty strategy was not worth the paper it was written on. And shockingly, according to a recent Lucid poll, a majority of people in Northern Ireland say the restored assembly has had either no impact or negative impact on their lives. And this is due to parties like DUP who wield vetoes to stall and prevent progress around the executive table and in the assembly. Chair, none of these issues that I have cited are to do with immigration or asylum seekers in Northern Ireland. The District of Sanctuary Initiative is about committing ourselves to being a welcoming, inclusive and compassionate community for people who have fled war, persecution and violence. The challenges facing Northern Ireland are legitimate and they are real concerns, and they have been exacerbated by a lack of political leadership, disgraceful scapegoating of minority communities and a shameful lack of delivery by ministers like the DUP around the executive table. We should be looking for solutions and demonstrating leadership instead of fostering fear. And Councillor Bowsey said we should start delivering for our local communities, and I completely agree. We should start delivering for our communities in the Assembly and in Stormont and for local people who have, where public services have failed them, Chair. It is a disgrace that we are debating this motion tonight and we will be voting against.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. The SDLP will be voting against this motion tonight, like the previous two speakers. I'm actually genuinely dismayed and deeply disappointed in the warden, first of all, of the motion. After the months of conversations that we've had across this chamber, after the months of conversations we've had cross-party, and the people that have both engaged with us inside and outside this chamber, the DUP aren't interested in facts or correct information. It's all about fanning the flames with not only misleading information but outright lies. How many times do we have to say again and again that the Council of Sanctuary, the City Sanctuary Network, does not control and has no bearing on immigration on one single more person coming in here. But yet this is worded to open up with immigration, to finish with the words asylum seekers and refugee, and then throw it into the middle. Callum, when you say that it's a gimmick and there's no need for it, and you can sit there smiling when you say it, it's very, very easy for you to say it from the community that you come from. Try saying it to the people that were in Belfast and burnt out of their houses. Try saying it to the people in Lisburn who had to go into a community centre and then move out because they feared for their lives. It's not a gimmick to them. And these things are real on the streets. Sorry, I didn't interrupt you. These things are real for people on the streets. We talked to people in the chair and Declan went to the hospital to talk to people who are propping up our hospital who feel fear. You can't turn around as elected reps who serve everybody in this community, no matter what background they come from, and say that there is no legitimacy to your fear. They feel fear, we can't call them out and say you don't. We have to step up and make sure that this district is welcoming for all who make this place their home. But yet, after 6 months of the most toxic debate, with lies and misleading information being put about in the public, where people's properties and their offices were targeted, where councillors said that messages that were going to be dragged and hung in the streets, with death threats and police involved in arresting people on death threats because of misinformation, I thought we'd put it to bed and we could actually talk about the facts. At that debate, if you want to take your mind back, we asked at the first committee for all the questions that were put to the public to go and get more information and bring it back. The DUP voted against getting more information, and I made that point at the time. I raised it with one of the DUP MLAs when I debated this multiple times on the airwaves as well. Ignore the facts. The DUP wrote it into the New Decade, New Approach in areas of sanctuary, but still bring up this divisive language and fail to recognise that they had it in their own government policy. This is simply about compassion, but we're using words like a burden and a pressure and the health service can't take any more and opening the floodgates. And all that is designed to do is to provoke emotion. And we should not, in this chamber, we should not be making decisions based on emotion. We should be making decisions based on facts, on evidence, on the information that comes back to us. And this is going through and we'll come back through the committee stage and we will have a discussion on it. But we're not going to have an open and genuine and honest discussion of if you're going to use it and conflate immigration with city of sanctuary. It doesn't, as I say, bring another single person in here because we don't control UK immigration policy. It's people that who are legally settled here. And what do we want to do? Do we want to say we don't want you as part of the community, the people that have settled here, the people that are working and built their lives here and propping up our hospitality and our hospitals? Or are we saying we want to integrate you? You're part of our community and we support you living and raising your family here and contributing to this society. That's what it is. It's quite simple. Now, I've seen, and I'm not going to go into it because it generally doesn't need to be said again and again after we said it a couple of months ago. But to see migrants' photos being put off on social media, does this represent you? And we all seen the pictures. Two of the people in the pictures worked in the hospital. Yes, it does represent me. They're the people who live in our district. But they're the people who are being scapegoated, and they're the people who have asked the chairperson of the council to come and meet them in the hospital because they fear for their lives. And we sit back and we smirk and we say, well, it's only a gimmick. It's not a gimmick to those people. So stop using this to gain votes. Stop using it to try and divide people and try and work together the council, with the people in this chamber and put out correct information. And let's have a debate on it. But finally, I will say on this, there are genuine questions. There are genuine questions that people have around immigration. There are genuine questions around housing, around healthcare, around government failure, around funding from the UK government. There are genuine questions, but we've seen this script time and time again. We don't have to go back far to see people pointing the finger and saying it's their fault while they cover up the lack of delivery in government, whether here regionally or in the UK. It is not the fault of the vulnerable people who have been settled here, and we want to welcome them into our community and make sure that they are live healthy and happy lives in our community. So you can blur the lines, you can talk about immigration, you can talk about floodgates, but it's simply not true. Last thing I'll say on this, because we have to bring a wee bit of clarity to it. We get phone calls on this all the time. I get a phone call driving up the road. I got two phone calls yesterday. I get emails. I've actually had more emails for people supporting it than not supporting it, and I think we have to make that clear. People with the most beautiful emails saying why this should be support, we should be supporting this. Compassionate act. But one of the phone calls I had today was, I want you to vote against. You're deciding on the City of Sanctuary tonight, Council of Sanctuary. I want you to vote against it. I said, no, that's incorrect. We're not deciding on membership of the City of Sanctuary tonight. That's actually going through committee. We started that process a couple of months ago, and that's ongoing. There is a motion coming to stall it. But I want you to vote against it. But can you tell me why I'm listening? Well, what way are you going to vote? I'm going to have the debate. I'm going to listen to what people say. And we'll see at the end. But I want you to vote against it. Why? Because there's too many blacks and Muslims in this country, and it's going to open the floodgates, and there's going to be far too many of them coming in. I said, it doesn't control immigration. Well, I don't care. We were told it does. And see, when I sat 15, 20 minutes on the way off the phone, I went back and forth on what it actually means. Agreed with me, agreed with me, agreed with me. Well, that's not, we believe that it's, but that's not factual. Ended up, we agreed on absolutely everything. We agreed that there's issues in certain things. But that person has it in his head that this is what the Council of Sanctuary is. And why is it in his head? Because of lies, because of misinformation, because the peddling of the far right, and I will agree with Declan on this, not only was doctors' faces put up, does this represent you? LGBT people's faces was put up. My face was put up. Does this represent you? Yes, it bloody does. Everybody from a minority or a vulnerable minority group or a vulnerable background is as welcome in this council area as we all are sitting here. So yes, it does represent me. So when you get the right information out there, people actually can agree. But that doesn't suit the political agenda in an election year where you have to fan the flames and people have agendas. So I'll ask you respectfully, treat people with compassion, treat people with humanity, put out the correct facts and stop politicking on this, because you're putting people's lives in danger in this chamber and outside this chamber. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Jackson.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I will agree on Councillor Byrne's point, and he did get this right. These things are real, and these issues are real in the community. People do have genuine concerns, and those concerns are centred around illegal and uncontrolled immigration, and the impact that that is having in some of our communities. And whether we like it or not, there is pressure on our health service, there is pressure on our infrastructure, there is pressure on our schools, and all of that can feed into a prioritisation of funding from mainstream. And all we're saying tonight is those genuine concerns are not being listened to. And my question tonight would be, when is the Alliance Party and SDLP and Sinn Féin going to actually listen to the people who has these genuine concerns? Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Taylor.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, there are genuine concerns about the issue of immigration, and there's no point in pretending otherwise. And I'm certainly always conscious as an elected representative that we all should be responsible in the language that we use when debating the issue. And it is essential that we decouple legal and illegal immigration in our politics and certainly our public debate also. And mixing the two does a disservice to those who have come here lawfully and contributed enormously to our society. And we see that, as has already been referenced, to the importance to the function of our local services and the health system being a prime example of that in particular. But illegal immigration is nonetheless a serious issue, and it's one that needs to be tackled head on, and more must be done by our government in that regard to address the concerns. But I know that tonight's motion does focus obviously on our the recent debates that there have been regarding the City of Sanctuary that was agreed by the majority of councillors on Nurean Morningdown. And the fact remains that there are genuine concerns within the community as to what this actually entails. And I don't think we've ever taken enough time to reflect on those concerns. There has been a couple of debates at council level, but we actually went into the detail of this about what it actually results in for our council and for our district. I don't think we actually have. Some questions have been addressed, but I don't think we've ever had what you would call a proper debate on it. It's always ended up with accusations being fired at those against it, that you're this and you're that, which is extremely unfair in my opinion, because there are genuine concerns on it. And I think we probably haven't had that proper debate as to what it actually entails in any sort of detail. So I'm happy to support Councillor Riley's motion that's been brought tonight about, suspended at this point as well. So and I hope that we can, obviously, if there are any further debates on this, that we can have a mature and sensible debate on the issues that there are out there, and we're not left to slang and accusations against each other in that regard. But I'm certainly going to support Councillor Reilly's motion presented tonight.
Very kindly.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. I'm going to break ranks here tonight. Over the past number of months, I think there has been legitimate, genuine concerns raised by plenty of the citizens within our district. And it's very, very easy to gaslight them and call them right-wing and call them loyalists and call them everything under the sun. And we may not agree with a lot of what's said, particularly in the online forum, but a lot of people have genuine concerns. I personally have noticed drastic change in some parts of our own city in Newry. It's unrecognisable, Chairman, and particularly at certain times of the day and the evening, you see groups of people going about who are clearly new to the city. And I really need to make the distinction between the people that come here to support and enhance our essential services. I unequivocally and wholeheartedly support them coming here. That's not who I'm talking about. I'm talking about these wasters that roam about Newry all hours of the day and night. And if those work in bed, they'd lie on the floor. They're over here to bleed the system and wreck and rob. And for that reason, I may not be comfortable sometimes with the language used by the DUP in these motions, but I am convinced that until we know more about what these city of sanctuaries are about, that the easiest option is to pause everything. Thank you.
Thanks, Joseph. Anybody else something to say?
Come up, Chairman.
Mitch, I'm sorry. I'm going to ask you to sum up. You can sum up now, Henry. Nobody else wants to say.
Well, firstly, Chairman, very, very disappointed in the Sinn Féin attitude to this motion. And, you know, to describe it as a dangerous motion and far right, I think Councillor Murphy should withdraw that accusation, because it is not far right to want to protect your own communities. And it's not about being anti-immigrant. It's about being pro-controlled immigration. The people who work in our health service are people who come here at our invitation and are doing a brilliant job. And I would stand with those people 100% if there was any threat against them. We are talking about people who have come here unvetted. And as Councillor Tinley put, there are so many people who come here and are not trying to seek employment. They're just going on welfare, and that's not a good thing. Chairman, Councillor Murphy also mentioned the meeting in 2025 in Newry. He claims created fear. Chairman, I spoke at that meeting. I attended at that meeting. And after I finished and got home, and I know, Chairman, that you can vouch for this, we were inundated with people from the Republic of Ireland who had watched videos online and whatever, and they were pleading with us. They said in many areas of the Republic of Ireland, their towns and villages have been transformed into what they say has taken away their Irish identity. And they were pleading with us not to let it happen in what they call the North, what I call Northern Ireland. So I just pointed out to Councillor Murphy, there was a lot of people resonated with what we were saying. It's not far right to want to put your own communities first. And Councillor Murphy talked about people targeting in Belfast as a result of the unrest there. And the fact is, Chairman, a man who came through Italy, France and Dublin, and then got a bus to Belfast, and then completed a 10-page tick-box questionnaire, got the right to remain in the UK. And this man was privileged.
to get a flat in an assisted living facility, while locals who have been on a waiting list in North Belfast for years are told, sorry, there's no flat for you. And then whenever that man who has got all this privilege tries to behead a local man, the people reacted. Sinn Féin blame the local people who reacted to what was a vile, aggressive, violent act against a local Northern Irish man. They don't blame the Irish government for letting them in at Dublin. They don't blame the Home Office for allowing a dangerous, violent man to live among them. They blame local working class people who were absolutely fed up with the way they are being treated. Councillor Burns says we've no control over migration, but when we become a city of sanctuary, it acts as a magnet. I have no doubt about that. And the likes of Mears and Serco, who openly claim that Northern Ireland is their most profitable region of the United Kingdom for making money out of immigrants, they will move in and buy up property to turn into HMOs that will further increase pressure in housing. We must live in the real world and put our people, Catholic, Protestant and dissenter, the people who have lived here for generations and centuries, we must put them people first, and that's where we stand with them. Thank you, Charlie.
Right. Not taking any more debate in this here, Councillor Byrne. So it's going to, I assume there's no consensus here. So, Henry, we're going to have to put this to a vote. Do you want a recorded vote or
this? Because then.
Well, it's up to him. Right, can you do it through the microphone, Henry?
From a customer,
can you put your light out? Yeah. We have no hand.
Chairman, Councillor Murphy should, in fairness, withdraw his comment that the likes of me and you and many concerned residents in Uri were trying to promote violence through that meeting in 2025. I think he should withdraw that, because that's a very serious accusation to make against anyone. And I would put it, Chairman, to you, I was under a lengthy investigation by the local government ombudsman, and I was talked to by the police about complaints that went in for me, and I was completely and absolutely clear of all charges. So, Chairman, if Councillor McAtee are saying now that all those agencies are wrong and Sinn Féin are right, that we're trying to promote violence and unrest, he should withdraw that statement, Chairman.
There's a recorded vote there you want, Henry, isn't it? Okay. We're good to record it, but I'm not taking anybody else in, folks, here, because it's been summed up.
Point of order, Chair.
Pardon?
Point of order, just to, the last comment Councillor Reddy mentioned was myself. I can't recall making any comments.
Is your megaphone on, Declan?
It is, yes. Just ask Councillor Reddy just clarify.
Henry, could you clarify what you were saying? Henry, could you clarify what...
What I said.
Could you repeat it there? I think he was distracted.
Well, he needs to repeat. I heard.
Put off your microphone, Declan, please.
Right.
Then.
Oh.
Go ahead, Adam.
It was clearly Councillor Murphy. The vile accusation against us wasn't Councillor McAtee.
You're apologising to Councillor McAtee.
That vile accusation was
made. You're apologising to Councillor McAtee. McAtee, are you, Henry? Henry? Are you going to apologise to Councillor McAtee? You should clarify that it wasn't him, it was Councillor Murphy. Thank you. We're going to vote. Henry. Cool down now, Colin.
Chair, a point of clarity for the record.
Yes.
To put on record a point of clarity, said to be responsible with our language and our facts here. City of Sanctuary, as Henry says, will open the floodgates to more people coming in here. That's just, sorry, this is a point of clarity. Look at the fingers from Belfast City Council signed up at the City of Sanctuary. to the amount of people that were in that year to the following year was a drop of 24%. So if you're going to come out and state something in this chamber that is going to open the floodgates, you've got to back it up with facts. Otherwise, go and look at the facts, because that's what's perpetuating. That's what's perpetuating this. Point the clarity on the figures, it done the absolute opposite.
All right, thanks. We'll go to the vote here now.
All right, quarter vote. Point of clarity.
Point of clarity.
Right. I didn't make reference to any meeting in Uri. Right. I didn't.
Henry, hang on.
Over and take a look at the statement then. You can point that out to me. That's the first thing. Secondly, when you're saying that your issue wasn't to do with the legal immigrants, it's the legal immigrants that are getting attacked. It's the legal immigrants that were attacked in Belfast. When they were shouting, burn them out, it was the legal immigrants, the people that work in the hospitals, that were being attacked. That's who are being attacked by words that are spoken in different places. That lights, it fans the flames for others to do exactly what you witnessed and what I witnessed. But I'm glad that you say now Protestant, Catholic and dissenter, because you weren't saying that 30 years ago. There you go.
Shit, eh? Chairman. Right to reply, Chairman. Chairman, from the day I was first elected, you can look back even in my maiden speech in the chamber. I said, I believe Catholic, Protestant, dissenter can work together for a better Newry and Mourne at that time. But you did, Declan, mention the meeting in 2025. Right, we'll review that. But you were clearly emphasising the fact that you believe anybody who brings forward a motion like this is right-wing extremist, that's out to promote hate. And that is not. It was not a dangerous gross emotion.
Well, put a recorded vote there, please. Any time you're ready.
Against.
Councillor Bowsey. Councillor Brennan. Councillor Byrne. Councillor Campbell. Councillor Clark. Councillor Devlin's apology. Councillor Enright.
Iganya, against.
Councillor Feehan. Councillor Finn. Councillor Galbraith. Councillor Gibbons has an apology. Councillor Hanlon. Councillor Hannah. Councillor Hardy. Councillor Howie. Councillor Jackson. Councillor Kearns. Councillor A. King. Councillor Seeking. Councillor Larkin. Yes. Councillor Lawler. Yes. Councillor Lee Surgener. Yes. Councillor Lewis. Yes. Councillor McGuinness. Yes. Councillor Mathers. Yes. Councillor McAteer. Councillor D. Murphy. Yes. Councillor K. Murphy. Yes. Councillor S. Murphy. Yes. Councillor Riley. Councillor Rice. Councillor Ryan. Councillor Taylor.
Four.
Councillor Tinley. And Councillor Young.
Six, four and 12. 28 against us, so the motion falls. Move on to the next motion. Councillor Mathers, would you care to read out your motion and whoever's going to sign it, and under, what is it? Standard number 16.16, will be sent to Equality and Good Relations. Okay. Yep. Your mic's not on there, so it's not. Yes. Go ahead, make sure. Yes.
Motion will be seconded by Councillor King. This council notes the 150th anniversary of the Catalpa escape, which occurs this year.
Please, could everybody, a wee bit of decorum there, let this man speak here. It's hard to hear.
The audacious escape of six Fenian prisoners from the British penal colony of Western Australia was one of the greatest ever prison breaks. One of the escapees was James McNally from Newry.
It was McNally who actually wrote the famous Voice from the Tomb letter to the ARB leaders in America, which put the escape in motion. On this, the 150th anniversary, this council notes limited commemorative events taking place in Ireland and compares this to events which have been organised in Australia and America, including a nine-day Fenian festival in Fremantle, Western Australia, which has recently concluded. This council will write to the Minister for Communities and the Executive and the Minister for Culture, Communications and Sport in the Dublin Government to request the hosting of commemorative events. This council will also examine the possibility of hosting a commemorative event in the district to acknowledge the bravery of the escapees, in particular James McNally, and those who planned and participated in the help of rescue.
Thank you, Councillor Mathers. Next motion.
Sorry, Councillor Taylor here. I just want to check something just before the last vote. It mentioned 6 votes for. I thought there was maybe 7.
Was there not 7? Right enough. I did think there was.
Just sorry, we think it's 7 as well.
It should be 7, just for accuracy. Yeah.
We're just double checking here.
Yeah.
Would be 7, yeah. It's 7 and then 27. Yeah.
Yep, thank you.
Right, Councillor Campbell, your motion, notice of motion, additional training provision for Gaelic Games, and who's going to sign it? And it's been deferred to AHC under 16.16. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. This motion is going to be seconded by Councillor Rice. This council recognises the significant growth in participation levels across Gaelic Games within the district and acknowledges that a number of clubs are experiencing increasing pressure on existing training and playing facilities. We would ask the council undertake a review of council-owned sporting facilities and land assets to identify opportunities for additional training and provision for Gaelic Games, engage with clubs that have demonstrated through membership figures, participation rates, facility demand and development plans that their existing sporting infrastructure is insufficient to meet current need. We explore options for the temporary, seasonal and permanent use of underutilised council facilities and lands to accommodate training and activity for such compatible with the existing operational requirements and community need. Consider such arrangements as an interim measure to support clubs experiencing capacity pressures until the completion and full operation of the Down GEA Centre of Excellence in Polycumla.
Thank you, Councillor Campbell. Item 16, notice of motion purchase of Centrefield bus depot for parking. Councillor Bowsey, could you say who's seconding it? And they're under 16.16. It's going to be sent to the Strategic Finance Working Group.
Councillor Jackson will be seconding it. This council recognises the chronic lack of parking in Saintfield and the impact this has on a flourishing high street. The sole off-street car park on Downpatrick Street has merely 66 spaces and is at full capacity most days, causing parking problems elsewhere in the village. The former Saintfield bus depot on the Belfast Road has the potential to create 42 much-needed additional parking spaces in Saintfield. Translink has agreed to sell this third of an acre site to Newry-Moore and Down Council. This offer will be honoured until the end of August before the site is then put on the open market. Council agrees to buy this last remaining brownfield site in Saintfield for the purposes of creating additional public car parking to meet our local community need.
Who's signing it?
Jackson.
Councillor Jackson. Thank you. That's the end of the meeting, Murray, isn't it?
Yep.
Thank you, everybody, and enjoy your holidays for the next few weeks. Wherever you may go and whatever you may do, stay safe from everybody.